Oi, you know what time it is? You're tuned in listening to Draw That Aussie Metal Guy. Make sure to hit that like and subscribe button so you don't miss any of his content when it drops. And remember, stay brutal, you mad dogs. Roof.
G'day, how are you all going? It's Jai, that Aussie Metal Guy here with Crank.com and with Cranium Radio. So today, tonight, wherever you are in the world, it's a great pleasure that I'm having a chat with Christopher Matthew Jones, a.k.a. Jonesy, a.k.a. Shred Rogers.
Hello!
Some of you may know him from Dark Halo, but he's due to drop his solo album, The Circle, through Shred Rogers, his solo project. Absolutely ripping album, man. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me, Jai. Appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, man. I got this email and Shred Rogers, and I was immediately intrigued by it, man. Not only because of the kind of logo there, to achieve your dreams, wear your heart on your sleeve, do your best and be brave, the Shred Rogers way, man. Also, the whole with the blah blah black sheep and the wheels on the bus and the moniker Daddy Death Metal, I kind of dove into it, but also kind of dove more into your other stuff as well. So I kind of found Shred Rogers and I found your stuff through Dark Halo, and it's been a lot of fun finding this, but I want to find out more about you as a musician. So can you tell me kind of where your love of music and kind of where it all began for you?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can remember it like it was yesterday. I got my first job at 16 years old at a grocery store in Arizona. And I worked with a kid there that was a guitar player. And he's like, "Hey, man, do you play guitar?" I'm like, "No." Like, I was more into, like, I wanted to be an illustrator, you know, as a kid. And I'm like, "No, I don't. But do you play?" He's like, "Yeah, man, like, check out this album." And he got Metallica's Black Album and showed me that. And I remember just like, what? I've never heard anything like it before. And just the wall of guitar sound that Hetfield plays, I was like, I just knew at that moment, I have to learn how to do that. And so he actually was my first teacher. We were like peers, and he gave me a few like lessons, and I just took it from there. I used to plug into my dad's, he had like an old school, like audio, I don't know what you would call it, but like his record player was plugged up to it, the CD player. And it had like one of the fat like audio jacks for headphones.
Another one.
Yep. I would plug in a Metal Zone pedal in that and use my dad's speakers with my guitar, and I would play along with Metallica CDs to learn.
Fuck yeah. So highly influential, the Metallica band as well. But also those stereos, dude, I remember them because I'm telling my age too. I'm 44 this year, dude. They had everything on there, didn't they? Plugins for everything. You had your record player. Some people probably don't remember. What is this? They had a record player, they had a tape player, they had a CD player, they had your speakers. Everything was attached on there, and your radio as well. And that was how we used to get music. We'd listen to whole albums, people, as well, which was always quite fun.
Yes. Yeah, so Metallica was like and White Zombie were like the first two bands that I got into. Yep, and it went from there, and you know, and I've had a love-hate relationship with Metallica over the years, and as I'm sure a lot of metalheads have. You know, when they released Load, I just went heavy. Like, I'm like, I need something more, and I went down, you know, the route of Pantera, Morbid Angel, then eventually Cradle of Filth, Emperor, Dimmu Borgir, then Devin Townsend and Strapping Young Lad, and I've been following his work since I was 17, 18 years old. And so as the years have gone by, I've diversified in my listening, but I still, you know, I play like thrash, death metal, black metal type style. And yeah, it's just, I'm getting older. I'm 45. So we're close in age, and I don't know.
Yeah. You're diversified in your listening as well as you're playing as well. Cause you play multiple instruments as well, like on a Dark Halo, you the guitarist as well, like it is a prog project, but also on Shred Rogers you play pretty well everything on there, don't you?
Correct. Yep. If you want, I can give you a little bit of history from when I first started learning, then how I found Dark Halo. So actually I played in a lot of like local bands in Arizona from about 1999 through 2003, and it was around that time. In one of the older bands, I met this gentleman, David Lowmiller, and he's the vocalist and bass player of A Dark Halo. But we were like, you know, we played local bands for a long time. He got a career in video game music, soundtrack production and stuff. And we were both starting, you know, we were married to our wives. We still have. And like, I was ready to close the door on playing local shows and stuff. And I just felt like I wanted to actually go down the path of music therapy.
Yep.
And I got a call from, let's go ahead.
Music therapy, man. My sister's big on music therapy. She's about to go out and do some pet, some animal Reiki this morning, but she's absolutely massive on music therapy. Sound bowls, the drums, the meditation, yes, kind of stuff is absolutely, yes, unreal, man. Really good stuff. People need to check that out, try, as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I actually love Reiki, and I love meditation too. So new age music. So, yeah, so, but it was around that time David gave me a call, and he's like, you know, I feel like I want to just make a metal album. And I was ready to, again, like I said, close the door. I'm like, you know what, let's just do it, and let's do it for us. And from like 2004 to about 2006, it was just the two of us. And, you know, looking in hindsight, we felt like we were pretty new, or it was new at the time. Like, we were not a common thing to like record an album in our office. And in one thing too, like, we would record the vocals in a closet, you know. And but we still, like, so we ended up like working on the album for a long time, the first album by Derek Halo. We call it Catalyst. And we went to like a studio and had it professionally mixed and all that. And it was around the time that MySpace was really hot, and we got our name out there through MySpace and licensing two songs for free to there it is.
Yes, there it
to
is.
A WWE video game called Day of Reckoning 2 for the GameCube.
Yep.
So, yep, that got out there. And then we started to play some shows. But, you know, like I mentioned a couple times now, we were going in different paths. So we just kind of let it go. Years went by.
Yep.
And through that time, I've been a foster parent, and I've adopted all of my kids. That's just my path of parenthood. And it was during that time I was like, you know, I still listen to heavy stuff. I still occasionally would bust out the guitar. And I'm like, you know, my son would listen to a lot of those kids songs. And I bought a Rush CD. It was Rush songs, like, almost, it sounded like baby music, you know. So it wasn't full on, you know, rock or anything. It was like cheap, like just very quiet baby music.
Kindergarten Rush.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, you know, I want to hear like somebody take the kids' songs, still make it come from a place of love, but like heavy as hell, you know? So those two things, you know, kind of inspire what then has now become this. So
has now become Shred Rogers. It's an amazing idea, and it's something that I was hit up with, fuck, probably about 6 years ago. I had a friend when I started doing this media stuff. They're like, man, we need some metal bands to put together a heavy metal kids album. And then, like, I come across, this is one of the reasons I was super excited about as well. Like, such a great album, but these heavy metal kids songs in there as well. It just fits so well. And it's such a great album to, you know, the instrumental start to it with Soul, and then jumping into that Good Morning. I implore all of you to wake up to this album first thing in the morning with your coffee, getting your kids ready. There is nothing better than it.
Thank you, Jai. Appreciate that.
So tell me a little bit more about this idea and with your kids and coming up. Is this something you're sitting around with the kids, playing some songs to them and going, this is pretty cool, I want to do a little bit more of this? Or
yeah, it really just started with Wheels on the Bus. I recorded myself jamming on a little kid, like acoustic guitar, just doing the voice like this, Wheels on the Bus, one time, you know, years ago. And then I decided to compose a whole song. I was using like the Apple GarageBand app and an iPod, not iPod, I'm sorry, it's a Line 6 pod.
Yep.
To like get guitar tones, and a very like lo-fi demo. And I put it up on YouTube as Daddy Death Metal. And then again, just kept doing I've been working in marketing at an environmental consulting firm for many years.
Yep.
So I was just doing that, raising my kids, put that out there. And Daddy Death Metal, that demo was like racked up like 56,000
views, dude. Something crazy, man. And were you like, is this going to do
like,
more of
what
this?
What am I doing? Not using my talent. So then a Dark Halo got back together in 2018. So in that process, we released singles over a few years, and we've just last August in 2023 released Omnibus One, which is the second Dark Halo record. But in the process of like getting ready for that album, I built a proper home studio, and I got used to, you know, sending tracks all around the country, because we're now in different parts of the country. So that like prepared me for really taking this seriously. So
yeah. Do you think I'm kind of like, with being all over the country and kind of having this time to kind of put in with Fred Rogers, I know you something you've been working on for a few years, but then Dark Halo kind of coming back together, and now you're able to work a little bit more from home, you know what I mean, a bit more remotely, and you don't kind of all have to be in the same studio. Do you think that kind of helped you guys kind of get back together on the Dark Halo side of things as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, even like that first album, it took us like a year and a half to record seven songs and then like a short interlude. So it already was like in its DNA, it was set up to be like, let's create art for art's sake, however long it takes. So it was really easy to like create this new reality where Dave and I started to write the new music, and then we incorporated. Now we have Melrose from Mekina on as a second vocalist, and then we have Abe Robertson on lead guitar, and then Kay Papali on drums. And three of them are in Texas, one is in Chicago, and I'm in Michigan. And so we got to just sort of bring people in and record parts from our different home studios. And with the technology now, we ended up also finding this amazing mixing and mastering producer gentleman, Tom Sturr Studios. It's Tommy Bonajo. I'm probably saying his last name wrong, but he's based out of the Netherlands. And we hooked up with him through this amazing instrumental djent type musician, The Last Bear Ender. He's also based out of the Netherlands. So we get all of our tracks recorded, and then we send him the the effect list tracks, and then he in Netherlands, he apparently has a studio where he like feeds our tracks with no effects through actual amplifiers and effects, mics them there to get that like super big pro sound.
Oh wow.
So we pay him to do that stuff, and then I decided again I wanted to take this, make it as big as I could. He's my guy also on the Circle, the first Fred Rogers album. So
yeah, definitely. And do you think with the band and that, do you think it makes it a lot easier these days now for people to access music? There's some real positives and negatives. Like I'm looking over now, like I'm Bandcamp, and I fucking love Bandcamp because that's my jam. I believe that's the better out of them all. But it's also good to see these comments, you know, from people as well, and a lot easier for people to access your music. But one of them I noticed was if you had uncontrollably bobs up and down the likes of Machine of Fear Factory. Fear Factory, I've seen your Fear Factory audition video. Tell us a little bit about that, man. Fucking brutal, man. Fuck you, Slam.
Thank you.
Mate.
Yes.
I know, dude.
Yeah, I actually, I just happened to see they had a Facebook post a few weeks ago where they said they're looking for a temporary bass player to hit the road whenever Tony Campos is otherwise engaged with Static X.
Yep.
So they're not looking for a permanent replacement. And there's a lot of like things they're asking for, like, is your passport up to date, can you get along with others, no ego, like ego is not your amigo, things like that. And I'm like, I like to think that I'm a pretty chill like humble person. So I'm like, you know what, I'm just gonna try to do this. And you know, I feel embarrassed to say this, but you know, I feel like I have a lot of work to do to get my video making chops up to par. So but I had to put it out there. I had to try. So they asked for folks that are interested to learn the song Fuel Injected Suicide Machine. And I in about half an hour, I was able to figure it out. And I did my best and put it out there. So it's kind of like a dream that if I was to be selected, I would approach that job with love and appreciation. And I would just go out there when they need me to kick ass and go home. And you know, not to replace Tony or anything, but just do my best, and it would be a dream come true.
Definitely would be a dream come true. You definitely got the killer goatee to come into his spot as well, bro.
yep, exactly.
That was a really good album as well, too, that last album they brought out, man. Absolutely unreal. And Milo, I'm looking forward to their next album with him really fucking letting go on vocals, because he is an unreal vocalist. Like, people don't realize how good he is and how good he is live and what he was doing before to be able to come into this. And Dino is an absolutely great person, despite what anyone says about him. I've met Dino. He's a fucking absolute gentleman, a top fucking guy as well.
Right. Totally. Yeah. I'm excited as well to hear new music with Milo on vocals. You know, he's definitely he seems like a very, positive, high energy, I can't think of the word right now, but he seems like a humble person that's really working to make this as beautiful as possible. And that's great to see.
Exactly. About the Shred Rogers album is what we're talking about. That comes out April 5th. We've already got the Bar Bar Black Sheep. The Jib track is an absolute ripper. We've talked about Wheels on the Bus. I'm a Nut. Tell us about the Brahms Lullaby Von Shred. That was another one that's been released as well. That one's fucking, man, this album is so, I'm pretty impressed. I love listening to albums like this in the morning as I'm waking up. It really did kind of fill me full of some motivation and kind of, I don't know, a real good feeling in here, dude.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. Woo, that's wonderful to hear. So Brahms Lullaby Von Shred was actually one of the songs that I've had a lot of the what you're hearing on the album as ideas in my brain for a long time. And my youngest son is 3 years old. Am I cutting out by chance?
No, you're fine.
Okay. All right. I still, even right before this podcast or our interview, I was holding him and putting him to sleep, you know, helping him go to sleep. And he's a bigger guy now, but I still hold him.
Yep.
And I would hum along with the music box of the da na na da na na. And for the last couple of years, I would develop a walking bass line in my brain. Like, man, it kept growing in my mind. And I'm like, I got to do something with this. And that was actually the last song I recorded for the album. I wanted it to be an instrumental, from Ride the Lightning by Metallica, Call of Cthulhu, where it kind of just repeats. It's like the same thing repeating over and over again. And it just builds a little bit more. And then I ended up taking it a step further by making it also a Metallica instrumental, in the way that it's kind of structured, where you have a quiet beginning and then the heaviness comes out of nowhere. I made it To Live Is to Die from the Injustice for All album, you know, just that's it, really. I like to think it's still original sounding, but I just wanted to make something that was it's still the lullaby, which really just repeats over and over again, but heavy. And I try to make it heavy yet still relaxing.
It is. And I love the thought you've put in. It's a very thoughtful track as well. But the thought you've put into the whole album, it isn't just an album full of nursery rhyme tracks. You have these real proggy introspective tracks, which you can play as well in between. And listening to it as the whole album is really quite fun. And it kind of did make me smile, as I mentioned before, and made me kind of feel really good through the album. Is this something you really kind of worked on, was the structure of how the album plays? Because you've got soul, then you have heart, and then if you have it on repeat, it kind of comes back into that soul again, you know what I mean? And yeah,
nice, you caught really that. Cool. Awesome.
I did. I try and listen to whole albums where I can, especially when doing something like this, because it's how people forget what a joy sometimes it is and how much some bands put into the album as a whole, the structure starting from the start through into the finish, and then coming back in, when you do what I do, repeat it sometimes, and you do catch those little subtleties to the album as well.
Yes. Yeah, I absolutely designed it to be an album experience because, I like listening to singles as much as anyone, but I've had my most formative and most exciting experiences as a music fan by just listening to an album on headphones. And I wanted this to be something that folks could discover if they happen to, purchase the album as a whole and they have an opportunity to do that. I think that it is a fun experience for folks to try if they're interested. So the album does have a flow to it. I have some themes that repeat on some songs on others subtly. And while the initial idea of Shred Rotters was to make heavy kid songs, over the years, as things have come up, whether I've lost a dear friend, which is what Jib was based on, or I had a beloved manager at an old job. She took on a new career that was more heart fulfilling. That's where Heart came from. I find that I would be like either moved to or asked by someone to like, hey, can you just write a quick little piece of music for somebody? Or in the case of Jib, I was so overcome with grief, I had to do something with it. These songs came out over the last like 10 years for as gifts for people. And I have versions of them that are like, you know, quick demo versions that I literally, again, were just meant to be here is something I was felt called to make for you. I hope it brings light and joy to you. And as I was wanting to fill up the album with to make it an album experience, I'm like, you know, I'm going to put the money and time into redo these and make them as heavy and as loud and as professional sounding as the rest. So, yeah, you're right. Those you mean you pretty much nailed it, Jai. It's like the album is designed to be introspective songs, a song and then like a child nursery rhyme or something like that. And then introspective on and on, you know, it kind of just like a dominoes that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to jump into something about you as a person with your attitude, and you seem this seems like a very positive thing. And talking to you now, it's almost seems like you've had shit happen in your life, but you try and turn it into a positive aspect. You try and spin that the way you look at it as well. Is that the right? Because I'm the same. I've like especially with this album, probably for you bringing this album out, being something that you've worked on and something that's very very close to your heart. Sang some of the songs to your kids and it started kind of there as well. How do you bring that into your music as well? Because I know with me, I recently had, I'm in remission from cancer. So like, and when I started all this music stuff, it was something that I wanted to do from the heart as well. So when you were talking about your friend there as well, sometimes some things in life we don't bring us lots of money, but that's not what life's about. It's about, you know, being positive, spinning that a little bit, not living your life in negativity, I suppose, and doing what's important to you in your heart as well.
Right. Yeah. The project has become this because partly from, well, I guess the most recent catalyst, no pun intended, of going down this path was I lost my father about 3 years ago, and he was a deep love of mine and very influential in my development. And, he was a fan of my music with a dark halo, and he liked some of these songs. The song called Love that's on the album,
it's beautiful.
I wrote for and a dark halo fan many years ago when he became a new father. I was not a parent yet, but I remember having a conversation with him about, you know, he seemed really nervous about being a parent. And I'm like, what would a song sound like to illustrate the excitement of being a child and yet maybe a little bit of fear in there? And that's what Love is about. That's what that song is. It's a like, purposely like instrumental progressive song. Like I gave every instrument a solo section, like a jazz tune, but that's a song about him. And my dad, one of the last conversations we had before he passes, he said, I wish you would do something more with a song like that. So that's why I included that. And I just got to this point now.
I think your dad would be very proud. I think it's important to hold those memories, but also to do something positive with the memory of the ones we've lost. I've lost several brothers as well, and lots of people in my life as well. And for me, it would have been easy to just give up and, you know, lose myself in that, or to use their memory for something positive and to push on, because we're the ones that hold their stories and their memories in our heart, and we're the ones that keep that going. So I think Dad would be especially proud of you to be doing something positive.
Thank you.
Out of that as well.
Yeah, so by my nature, you know, I'm introverted, but I've become a good trained extrovert, as I like to say. There are times that I get overwhelmed, you know, with me, I get scared about stuff, or you know, my own traumas come up in me, you know, and I feel sad or whatever. But I've found that I've like over the years have trained myself to like respond to difficulty by being like a rebel for positivity, if that makes sense. It's like being that like, you know, wearing the black metal makeup and the spikes and like being this way, but like I'm angry because we could do better. You know, it's like that, you know.
I know it's exactly like that. I met I'd recently just reconnected with some long lost family, and I met one of my second cousins, and we were chatting. He said, you're not what I expected. He said, I seen all the metal stuff, the tattoos and everything. And he's like, you weren't what I expected, because I was just so positive and uplifting and happy and everything I've been through. I think people get the wrong idea of us metalheads as a person. It's a very, very positive community to be a part and whole, and it's a very small community, and we all kind of stick together and do look after each other. I know from my own personal experience last year when I was diagnosed, they put on a concert in Sydney and ended up raising $4,500 for my treatment as well, which was unreal, you know. And that's the metal community kind of getting behind. It's an extremely caring, loving, positive community, and Tread Rogers' album definitely does encapsulate that, brother.
Thank you so much, Jai. Yeah. So what I hope that happens with Shred Rogers is that I get the album out there, and like parents that are metalheads or and want their introduce their children to something, I want it to kind of be like something that will show like this is what this music feels like, and it can come from a place of love and not necessarily like, you know, on the surface anger and hatred and stuff. Like you know, you mentioned you know, just how like you learn about different people. Like in metal that have their, you're not what you expect, or sometimes you can listen to songs and you'll have a reaction that you don't expect. One of the songs that came out in the last number of years that like blew my mind and like really did kind of help me like create Baba Black Sheep, for example, is Dimmu Borgir's last album Aeonian had a song called it's like Aeon Omega or something like that. Yep. It's like one of the last tracks on the album.
I got that.
I don't know. I don't remember what the whole name of the song is, but that song, if you really listen to it, it's pretty much about you have this mountain and I'm going to overcome it. And like I would hear Shagrat doing his like, you know, his like scream. And it just, I was like doing dishes, listening to this and was in tears. Like, I don't care what anybody says, like, and you know, and they are likely, you know, proud to be satanic. That's fine. But like they have whatever they're doing, they have found something that fulfills them with joy, and they are really trying to like help people in the best way they can. And like I connected with that. I love those guys.
You got it right to Alpha Aeon Omega.
What's that?
You got it right to Alpha Aeon Omega.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, okay.
You got a spot on, man. A killer album too, man. I fucking remember when I got that, man. I was hammering the hell out of it in the car, dude. Sitting in car parks, everyone kind of having to put up with it as well.
Yeah, it's, I mean, yeah, it's a bit like the choir work on that album was just, it came out of, like, it was hard to, like, get used to at first, I remember. Yeah. But it's grown to become, like, I can't stop listening to it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, I know. It's really cool. Pianos and everything. Look, how do you know when, like, being a solo artist, do you have anyone else kind of going, hey, that's enough, Christopher? How do you know when enough's enough with a track being a solo artist? I've asked this before with other people. Do you have anyone else going, sitting in with you sometimes going, hey, dude, or do you send it off to other people as well? Tell me how you know when enough's enough with a track.
Well, I tend to, I just know when it feels right that a song is enough. I do have Dave from A Dark Halo. I have sent out some of these tracks as they've been in development for his input. And as a matter of fact, he wrote within like the span of 40 minutes the intro to Baba Black Sheep. It's like a piece that has like the bagpipes and stuff.
Yep.
He bought a patch on for, you know, his studio of it was like a Viking choir. And he's like, I've been wanting to use this Viking choir. And I like opened that up and I just wrote this for you. What do you think? And I'm like, dude, it's perfect. Cause like one of our favorite films is Braveheart. And so I felt like it was like Braveheart, you know, influence. And Baba Black Sheep. Look, I'll be honest. That is like straight up Dimmu Borgir and Aboth from Immortal. That's like my love letter to those guys. Cause I both Shagrat and Aboth, I just love those guys. Like they bring up so much love in my heart somehow. So like, yeah, that song was meant to be that statement. And but even like more from a place of like innocence, you know. Like anyway, so Dave will help me out by listening and again contributing. Abe from A Dark Halo helped. Like I sent the Alive song as a demo to him a couple years ago, and he just like decided to go ahead and kind of change up some of the drum tracks and sent it back to me. That Alive was actually the first song I recorded, as you're hearing on the Circle. Because it was meant to kind of be like an FU to the pandemic. Like this was a hard 2 years, but I'm alive, you know, and listen to this song and hopefully you'll feel alive. You know, that was what that was meant to be. But anyways, so like Abe, like kind of helped me think outside the box with you know, with this unsolicited contribution. And so I'm like, I'm going to go with this. And of course I gave him a credit on that about, you know, additional drum arrangement on a live. Besides that, Jai, it's really just been, when I feel like I'm ready, I'll set it off to Tommy at Tomster Studios. And I've just allowed him to do his thing.
Yeah, nice.
He's kind of like changed a few things to how I thought the mix would sound. But I just let him do it and I trust him. Because I love the creative process for that reason.
Yep.
Yeah. I apologize if I'm going too long.
No, you're fine, mate. That's what we do here. We talk, mate. We're Aussies. We're Aussie, mate. We can talk all bloody morning. It's so joy of this thing. I want to do quickly chat about I'm a Nut. That one made me smile, man. I'm a Nut.
Yes.
I played that with my sister. She came here before and I was playing the film clip to it as well. I love these tracks on here, man. I love the way I kind of felt listening to the album as well. Music does that to me. I'm a huge lover of music and things as well. So yeah,
so that song was definitely one of the songs that my three boys have listened to a lot over the years. And because I think of my musical brain, it never shuts off. I always have riff ideas going. Like I could sit here all the time, just be like, din, 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 you know, just start with a riff. But I would listen to that while we're like riding in the car, and I'm like, man, I could hear like Green Day, like jamming out with this song, like just the, you know, like, cause it's kind of simple, like chords and stuff. And I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do a cover of that, it's gotta be kind of like a Green Day Dookie era type vibe. So that's what I tried to do. But of course I couldn't help myself. I had to throw in my dual guitar Iron Maiden influence, you know, there. But I wanted that one to kind of be like the short and sweet. Like this is actually like closest to a cover of anything that's on the album. And yeah, so that one is kind of meant to be like the last.
It does have that feel to it as well there, Chris. You kind of said you wanted this one to be the closest one to sounding like a cover. And it fucking does, dude. It really does. I had listened to that and I'm like, man, that's what I thought, but it's not. It's an original track. It's done so well.
Thank you, Jai. Yeah, so that one, that was the intention of that. And I was able to get my niece and nephew. I encouraged them to have some to be brave enough to record on it. And so I had them duplicate the "You're a what?" near the end.
Yeah.
So if you really listen to it, you can hear a couple of kids with me. And dude, they both recorded it in my little studio down here with one take each.
That's really cool. Good on them.
Like, you guys are professionals. Like, I don't know if you realize that. One take, you nailed it.
That's it. Naturals, mate. Kudos to them. Good on them. They've done a really great job as well. Good, and that would have been really good to be able to bring them on board as well. Any future plans to bring the kids in when you're doing something as well on future albums?
Yeah. I do. On Brahms Lullaby, actually, on the beginning segment of that song, there's some percussion. I recently became a guitar teacher for the first time locally here. Yeah, and I invited one of the 16-year-old student of mine and his younger brother to perform those parts.
Aww.
So those were actually recorded at a local studio. And then I incorporated it into the mix because I wanted to give them something. Cause they're working really hard, you know, and I remember being that 16-year-old, you know, I wanted to give them a chance to have a record experience, you know? So what I plan to do is, as time's going on, I do want to incorporate more people into the project, whether it be fans or, you know, local artists or international or national artists. Yeah.
Yeah. Get the kids before they become teenagers. I remember interviewing Ricky Warwick for the last album, Hard Times, and he had his daughter sing with him on a track. And he said it was absolutely amazing. He loved it. He said, but now she's a bit older and she's a teenager. She's embarrassed by it.
So I gotta look this up.
I was like, dude, really, really cool. Yeah, Ricky Warwick off of his last album. I'll try and remember the track and send it over to you, dude. But one of the tracks he does on there, he does it with his daughter as well. It's really cool. Really worth checking out as well. Cool, dude.
I'm looking it up right now. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries. I would might leave you there to it, Christopher. I do want to plug your pluggables, though. You do have a website, blog at shredrogers.com. You're on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Threadless merch is shredrogers, one word, .threadless.com. And you're on Twitter as well. And you've also got all of your Dark Halo stuff as well. And on Bandcamp, people. So, yes, you're probably going to be on all the streaming platforms, but head over to Bandcamp, buy some merch, buy an album as well. It really does help keep the scene going forward.
Yep, I will kind of plug something if you don't mind.
No, not at all. That's what I'm here for, brother.
Yeah, so...
So yeah, the album that's coming out on Friday is called The Circle. This is the CD Digipak version. Yep. It's kind of getting weird there, but I also, about a month before advertising it, I created this EP. So this is actually handmade. I actually purchased some stickers and I apply it myself. I draw everything on it and inside it. But it's numbered. There's only 33 in existence right here. But it has a few songs that are on The Circle, but also like that demo I was talking about.
Yeah, Heart and Soul. Bus. Yep. It's got Heart and Soul together.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes. And the only thing they bear is you is a one-off track that I did with the last Bear Ender. He wanted me to contribute to a song, but we ended up, like, I wrote the first half of the song and he's like, look, let's just do like a co-writing credit. And, but our agreement was that, you know, he can do whatever he wants with it and I can do whatever I want.
So I decided, just for this limited release, that song is only available physically on here.
On there, yeah.
But to make it even more exciting, there's an additional Fred Rogers sticker inside when you open it. But there's gold stickers. So there's only five. And I have 14 left. And so far there have been two stickers that have been found. But there's a QR code if you are lucky enough to get the sticker, that later this year there's a free gift, if you will, of a one-of-a-kind experience that the people that get the sticker will be able to redeem for me. So
there you go, people. Go buy it. Go get those stickers.
Yep.
Awesome. Look, any last words, shout-outs, thank yous, or anything else you'd like to add in there, my friend?
Yeah, I want to shout-out the C-Squared PR company. It's Curtis and Corey. They've been helping me out a lot with getting the word out of Shred Rogers, as well as with the Dark Halo. The folks that I mentioned as collaborators, you know, I want to thank each and every one of them. They know who they are for being part of this. I got to say, you know, thank you to my wife as well, and all my dear friends and family that have supported me throughout, you know, my own struggles to get to where I'm at, to make this dream a reality. And Jai, thank you for having me on. I am really excited to talk to you. It's, you know, it's evening where I'm at. It's beautiful that you're calling me from the morning in Australia. I've never been there, and I hope someday too.
You'd love it. Bring the family over for a holiday. It's absolutely beautiful over here, mate. Really big country. Yes. Look, everybody, go grab some Dark Halo. Also, grab some Shred Rogers. The Circle does drop 5th of April through Heavy Armor Records. Remember, I'm going to quote you: to achieve your dreams, wear your heart on your sleeve, do your best, and be brave the Shred Rogers way. Cheers, mate.